Let Steep for 4 to 7 minutes by Professor Butterscotch. Read by Night Tracer. Fandom, Hockey RPF, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Pairing, Sidney Crosby, Yevgeny Malkin. Summary. Sidney buys Gino a teapot every year for Christmas as a promise. The first teapot is a plain burnt red, small, with a crack through the lid. He glued it back together. Gino had pointed it out to Sid after what turned out to be a painfully transparent bid for a PR-enforced secret Santa exchange, so Sid had bought it for him on Christmas. It was the first year after he moved out of Sergei's house, and he hadn't bothered to get a pot yet, so he was just making individual mugs of tea. He doesn't use it much anymore, but for the first 3 years or so, it was the only one he had, and it got near constant use. Its insides are stained, and the aforementioned crack is cleanly repaired, apart from a smear of glue near the top. It makes 2 large mugs of tea, or 2.5 regular-sized mugs. The lid can't close all the way when he uses the chain on the tea ball, and its handle is too small for Gino's fingers, but it's not like that had been a consideration. It was his first teapot, after all. He hadn't known what he was looking for. Now, Gino has a collection of teapots. There are 6 of them, proudly lined up along the back of one kitchen counter to catch the sunlight. Gino had installed hooks along the side of the cabinet in a preemptive measure to hold all the mugs he envisioned having. Mugs seem to be a thing that people like to hand out and make for every commemorative occasion, so he had prepared and hung up about 15 little hooks, but he still only has 4 mugs, so the rest of the hooks hold tea balls and a set of measuring spoons. He likes taking the time to look at the teapots, all beautiful or fragile. He knows Sidney likes watching him hold them in his huge hands, which dwarf most of the pots. He's more or less asked Sid to move in several times now, or rather, implied that they should both live in the same place. He knows Sid's building a house, that Sid wants to create a home and a space for himself. But although he appears to rather desperately want to make a home, they're not quite there yet. They've been dating. Together, Sidney says, scrunching his nose, we don't really go on dates.
Yes, Gino nods soberly. You're too cheap for dates.
More or less solidly for several years, but the tacit admittance that would come with moving in together isn't something they're quite ready for. Gino is not entirely sure what they're waiting for, but he figures they'll know when it happens. And it's not like either of them consider the time spent until then to be a waste. Sidney's building his house, and Gino's pulling his hockey socks on with Sid every day. So they'll wait. The second teapot is a Christmas present, smart and black, with a narrow spout. On the bottom, in gold sharpie, pens, colours, Gino despairs, is a Merry Christmas message, with an X beside Sid's name, that was probably considered quite severely for several minutes, before added decisively. Whenever he picks it up, he makes sure to hold it with a hand on the bottom, to touch where he knows the message is.
Sid, Gino explains upon opening it. It's perfect. Thank you.
Sid chews on his lip before speaking quickly. I wanted to write our numbers on it, but I thought that might be a bit obvious and I didn't want it to look like crap with the marker. I can have someone paint them on if you want. Make it nicer. The idea is kind of pathetically adorable, and Gino grins at the thought. It is obvious, but hiding in plain sight has worked out rather well for them so far. And if someone's in Gino's kitchen scrutinising his teapots, they're probably not going to be someone who's going to make a fuss.
No, it's fine like this, he says.
And Sidney looks rather relieved. Despite Sidney's protests, he gets up to immediately make a pot of tea. Lady Grey, with a spoonful of raw honey waiting in the bottom of each mug. Pens mugs. If Sid wants to set a theme, Gino is more than willing to play along. They look at the new teapot silently while the tea steeps. the side sleek and clouded. Sydney reaches out to wipe off a drop of water from the smooth exterior, and then reaches back reflexively to cut the side with his hand. "I only really ever drink tea to get warm," he says. "A few times in high school, writing essays when my room was cold. Can't really wear mittens while you type, so..." Gino snorts in laughter and reaches out to place his hand over Sydney's in the warm curve of the teapot. He reaches out with his other hand and weaves all four of their hands around the warm base, keeping their hands warm. Both of them are leaning forward to reach between them, and it's easy for Gino to lean further into Sydney and kiss him slowly. Sydney hums into it, moving closer and pressing up to give his mouth to Gino. I wanted you to have," he starts, before Gino kisses him again, warm and slow. He tries to start again, but Gino says,
"Sid, I know,"
and presses his mouth back down to the corner of Sid's mouth, their hands hot together and cradled around the tea, steeping between them. He does know. Sid wanted to put their numbers on the teapot. Of course he knows what this was. The third teapot is a sage green, with a large lip on the top of the handle, where Gino's thumb fits perfectly while he pours. The squat side has a cheerily skating cartoon snowman with a red scarf on it. Sydney spies it in the homeware section while they're squabbling over a knife block, since Gino doesn't have one and Sid thinks he should get one. Sydney's got his cranky but trying not to be face on, so Gino nudges him and jokes,
"Already filling up my house when you're home not done, Sid. Should have own kitchen first. You have no kitchen. No room to judge if I don't have knives."
"You know, I'm still putting it together, Gino."
"Best not buy knives then, if have no kitchen table. Why are you taking so long? Need to chop own tree for table. Not best knives for that."
"No, I just..."
"Can live with me. Buy me special things for knives."
Sydney bites his lip.
"No, it's...
I want to do it. I am doing it. I have an idea in my head for the house." Gino wants to keep teasing him. Tell him he's a millionaire, so any idea he has for his house, he can pretty much make happen. But although he's not always good with knowing when to stop teasing or when to push more, he figures he should stop for now. Sydney keeps skipping over and not acknowledging any time Gino suggests he stay with him for longer than a night or two. They should probably have another actual conversation about it, but Gino, for all he wants it and keeps suggesting it, feels almost as squirrely about the idea as Sydney clearly does. He reaches over and takes the knife block from Sydney's hands.
"This one is not a nice knife, block," Sid fills in. "Block," he says. "You were right, I need, but this one is cheap. You find better thing for my kitchen, I buy."
Sydney chews on his lip again. Gino wants to hold him, badly. Isn't used to having to restrain casual affection. But they're in the homeware section, and that also goes on the list of the things they're squirrely about. Sydney shakes his head and moves further down the aisle, and Gino hovers, unsure whether putting the knife block back would signal some kind of rejection, or whether it is indeed no big deal. They stop again while Gino considers the placemats. He's opening his mouth to ask if it's worth getting some for Christmas dinner, when Sydney, who has been staring somewhat moodily at the opposite shelf, points and says, "You should get this teapot." Gino looks at the one indicated, a sleek navy pot.
"Sid not remember? He already give me teapot."
"Yes, but..." Sydney almost visibly thinks through what he wants to say and bites it back. "This one can be for me, for my house."
"Not really have too much of a house yet for teapots, Sid. Not have counter either."
"I'll keep it at your house then." Sydney looks less squirrely and more determined now. "It'll be mine for when I move into my house. For later, but you can keep it for now." Gino looks at the teapot,
should get that one instead, he says, pointing to a yellow one next to it. It's on sale.
Weren't you just griping about wanting to buy nice things? Sydney grumbles.
Then he brightens. Next to the yellow one in the sale section is a sage green one, adorned with a snowman on skates. He picks it up, considering. He wants to say something, then stops, then starts again. This can be... I want to stay with you while I build it, but I can't. Not yet. I want to, but it's... not too much. But I just can't. We can't yet. But you can keep this one if you want. For when I need it. For when we're ready, he doesn't say. He's staring pretty fixedly at the cartoon snowman. Gino thinks it looks kind of goofy, no better than the yellow one, but...
Oh, is the same colour as the paint, Sid?
Two cans of sage green paint for Sydney's eventual bedroom sit in the bottom of their cart. Sydney had wanted a dark forest green, but Gino had made him get the lighter colour, secretly picturing how it would look against Sid's eyes. Sydney smiles at him so sweetly and genuinely that Gino's entire chest unknots and turns to place the teapot gently in the cart. They're pretty conscious of the teapots after that. Sydney will comment on the green one pretty much every time he sees it, saying he hopes Gino's keeping it safe for him. He slips up once and says, "For us," instead of "me," one day, and even though it was pretty nonchalant, Gino makes eye contact and turns it serious, says,
"We'll keep it safe for house, Sid. Not going to break it between. I promise."
Sydney nods. "Good," he says. "I promise too." His mother is the first one to comment, looking at the black one and asking if he's starting a collection and clucking her tongue in humour at the skating snowman beside it.
"Oh, that one's Sid's," says Gino, and gets a look.
Sydney's there too, over for dinner and looking relaxed and happy. Gino's parents, Taylor, Flower, and the Lemieux are pretty much the only people who know for sure about Sid and Gino, although by now it's something of an open, unspoken secret among the people who've been on the team the longest.
"I'm starting a collection,"
Gino says in both English and Russian, poking out his tongue at Sydney, who looks thoughtful.
"Of other people's teapots," his father says dubiously.
Sid's house has been more or less completed, his room painted to match the teapot. Well, to almost match the teapot. Gino figures that he's not keeping it in the bedroom, so the slight difference in shade shouldn't matter. But the teapot still sits on Gino's counter. Gino doesn't really want to give it back, truth be told. He likes having it around, a reminder of Sid and his stilted promise of, "for when I need it." He caught Sydney staring at it a few weeks ago, though, as Gino made tea in the kitchen. Gino laughed ruefully and gestured towards it, not really wanting to bother to try to find the English words, and knowing Sydney wouldn't try to make him.
"You keep it," Sydney said after a moment. "You buy it for your house, Sid. House is almost done."
"No," Sydney said. "I bought it for us to use."
"We're using it right now."
"Exactly," Sydney said. "It's for us to use. I don't want to take it until... unless it's still for us to use." Gino lifted his head, eyes wide.
"Sid..."
Sydney's face is soft and open, his determination settling into calm sincerity. "I promised, Gino, I'm... we can't yet, but I really want to live with you. You know I do, so you can keep it. Until then." Television fuzzed in the living room, where someone, probably the Canucks, scored. But they stand silently in Gino's kitchen, palms on the cool granite countertop, where Gino's teapot sit waiting in a gleaming, silent row.
"Is it ready?"
Gino tilted his head questioningly, and Sydney waved his hand at the pot, the snowman smiling widely up at them.
"No,"
Gino said, looking at Sydney's downswept eyelashes, his curling hair,
his cheeks still faintly flushed from the admission. He cleared his throat.
Not yet. Still knees to steep.
It was probably a mistake to take Sydney with him to the tea stall, to avoid being recognised if nothing else, but he's out of pretty much all his herbal teas, and there's a new one he wants to try, so he pulls Sid into the mall with him.
Can go to Root Store, try to find sweatpants to fit your ass, Gino suggests,
but Sydney smiles blithely and stays beside him. Gino normally just points to the teas he wants to smell, well aware of the cruelty of teenage retail employees with regard to foreign accents. The last thing he wants is Sydney getting pissy at random tea store people, the way he snarked at a Tim Hortons employee who pretended not to understand Gino the first year he played for the Penguins. These girls know him, though, and fetch the canisters of tea down for him to smell.
There's one called O Canada.
Sydney appears at his elbow.
Yes, is rooibos, maple tea,
Gino explains, knowing what's coming. We should get that, Sid says, as he expected. Gino rolls his eyes at the girl.
My Canadian,
he stage whispers, and she giggles at them, and begins filling up a small bag with maple tea. Sydney disappears from his elbow, browsing the travel mugs and the tea kits on the side of the wall. He calls Gino over to show him a transparent glass teapot, the blooming pink tea inside, fascinated. Sydney pokes and prods at most of the teapots on the wall, perusing them as though he's become an expert. Gino plays along, looking at the different designs, liking the look of a bright red one with a white branching tree across it. Maybe this one, he thinks. They both keep coming back to the transparent glass one, Sydney seeming transfixed, the bright unfurling tea. Apart from his tea, however, they leave empty-handed. Sydney flexes his hand a few times between them, enough to catch the back of Gino's wrist, before stuffing it into his jacket. He kisses Gino in the car, barely glancing around to check, before putting his hand high on Gino's thigh and leaning in. Gino grabs at his jacket and strokes back along Sydney's tongue with his own, humming into the kiss as Sydney pulls away with a slow bite to his lower lip. He strokes his hand along Gino's thigh and says,
Let's go home. Back to your house. Please.
He swallows at the slip and leans back in to kiss between Gino's lips again, kissing him deeply before settling back.
Yes.
Gino whispers and clears his throat before he shifts his car out of park.
Then I make you your Canadian tea and kiss you so hard you hurt your jaw again.
Sydney says, kicking his feet against the bag of tea. Sounds like a promise. The fourth teapot comes on the next Christmas, after an overtime win against the Jets. Sydney tells the team in the locker room after the game, feeling somehow more awkward about it, knowing that's pretty much only formality of an announcement at this point. Gino already knows which of the guys are going to use the admission as an excuse to be dicks about it, but he finds he can't really be bothered to give a shit tonight. Knowing it's clear to everyone here that tonight, at least, they're leaving together and will return in the same car in the morning is more than enough. The teapot is large and smooth. It can make upwards of 4 mugs of tea at a time and comes with a removable infuser that fits perfectly in the top. Gino hadn't really minded fiddling with the tea balls before now. They're small and his hands are large. They're a pain to clean, which he had denied contrarily the first time Sid complained about it, but it's true. It feels almost like cheating, but he can't deny it's easier to just whip out the infuser and cleanly dump the swollen, sodden leaves into the compost. When he had started using tea balls, he hadn't known that some tea swells, and had several times discovered sodden walnut chunks pressing themselves out of the tea balls, wetly crunched together and spilling over his fingers when he released them. Too much to fit in the tea ball. The teapot is a clean white, with patterns of black leaves on the sides. Gino uses this teapot the most often, too thrilled with its size and efficiency, despite continuing to find a certain grumpy pleasure in using the teaballs occasionally. He loves the new teapot, but he likes the attention he has to pay to measure out the correct amount to keep from overfilling the ball, gently scooping the sodden mass out with his fingers when he's done, and running the fine chain through his fingers as he rinses it. It's clumsy and not as clean, and finer teas can escape through the tea bowl, the way they could through the new infuser, but Gino still likes it. "When we live together" has now become an open, unguarded refrain. On the one hand, Gino loved the ease with which they're able to talk about the future now, the comfortable assumption that they're building something to last, not just enjoying something in the moment. "When we live together" feels like a clear goal, a solid future point that exists beyond the way Gino feels when Sydney blinks his eyes awake against the sage green backdrop of his sunny walls. "When we live together," Sydney says, wrinkling his nose at Gino's cabinets, "I think we're going to have to get a separate pantry just for the Gatorade." "When we live together." It's potent. Sydney clearly loves saying it, loves tasting the words aloud. It's wonderful, and Gino feels something unfurl each time he says it, hears it. On the other hand, however, it also feels a bit like playing house. It's a tease. "When we live together." It's increasingly elaborate. Sydney full of plans and dreams, he tells Gino as they putter around Gino's house on a Saturday, throwing the ball down the hallway for an increasingly disinterested Jeffrey. "When we live together, do you think his claws will scratch up the hardwood? Do you care?" It's wonderful, but it's cruel. It's a fixed point, but there doesn't appear to be many other fixed points in between where they are now and when we live together. Just a long stretch where they don't. Gino's well aware it's not just the physicality and the logistical ease of when we live together that he craves. It's the performance. It's the clear evidence of their partnership devoid of care or worry of being found out. It's that partnership at all. It's the fuck it choice they make together to leave home games hand in hand and take out the recycling at the same house every week, as clear and proud as Gino's teapot lined up on the counter. Gino's not immune, however. He plays house too. "When we live together," he rumbles at Sydney, searching distractedly for his belt. "You not have to go home before practice. You come back to bed and I blow you again." Sydney shoots him a glare from the floor, where he snags the belt out from under Gino's dresser. Gino contemplates his bare shoulders, rounded with muscle over the pale slope of bone. He bit them fairly hard last night, all across the top, but sadly doesn't appear to have left a mark. He sighs and tosses Sydney his phone from the bedside table. Sid flips through it briefly, sending a text before leaning over Gino to kiss his jaw, pausing with his shirt and belt still in his hand. "When we live together," he breathes, lips soft against Gino's doubled cheek. "I'll tie you to the bed so you can't." Gino moans and flops dramatically backward as Sid shoots him a sunny smile and darts around the door, pulling his shirt on. "When we live together, I'll kick your ass," Gino shouts after him, hearing a cackle as Sydney thuds down the stairs. The fifth teapot is a handsome stone blue, thick ceramic pottery, with a large knob on the lid. It came with a mug, not matching, but clearly made by the same potter, with the same shade of Cape Breton blue swirled into darker blacks and greens. Gino has somehow managed to drink only black tea from this teapot, and whenever Sydney moves towards it with a teabag of jasmine, Gino redirects him.
"No, not that one. Penguin's one tonight."
He's not a purist. He'll drink pretty much any kind of tea, except the ones meant to taste like cake. It's not that he's opposed, it's just that they always seem to taste sweet without tasting strong. And if he's going to drink something that's meant to taste like cake, he figures it should be worth it. But this teapot is only for strong black tea in the evenings, or during the winter, when he stands with a mug of tea, looking out over his silent, snowy yard. The teapot's walls are thick and strong.
He has a lot of teapots. He figures he's allowed to set up weird rules for them. It's not like anyone's about to judge him for having weird rules with Sid around. Even if he doesn't know about this rule, he would understand it completely. It probably wouldn't seem weird to him. But Gino likes it as an unspoken rule, and sort of wants to see if Sidney will notice on his own. Gino's knocked out in early January with a sprained wrist. They're doing well despite his absence. A bunch of the rookies screaming along in points, so he doesn't feel as helpless and bitter about watching games as he normally does when they lose without him. He still prefers to do so at home with Jeffrey on the couch beside him, but dresses in his suit and bats Sidney's stroking hands away from his tie. "I'm helping," Sidney protests, like butter wouldn't melt in his mouth.
"Menace,"
Gino growls, chucking him on the chin and swatting him on the ass before he finishes knotting his tie. He watches from the box with Mario and the others as Sunshine scores a beautiful goal on Anderson. Gino pumps his fist in triumph.
"Doing well?"
Mario asks during a commercial break every game.
"Yes," Gino answers every game. "Wrist is fine. I am fine."
"Good," says Mario, sounding satisfied.
"They're doing well, eh?"
"Yes," says Gino, feeling full of pride for his team.
"They not even miss me. Look."
Sid's on a tear tonight, stealing the puck from Spezza and taking off up the right side. Gino loves watching the team when they're doing well, loves cheering for them. Anderson stops the shot and the rebound, but it's clear the Pens have the momentum, all of them riding high. Mario nods thoughtfully.
"Maybe not on the ice tonight, sure. I'm sure they'd all rather you were down there."
It doesn't sound like a platitude coming from Mario, so Gino doesn't take it as one.
"I don't mind," he says. "Would rather play, but it's nice like this, too. I'm proud to watch."
The sixth teapot doesn't come on Christmas, but on a wet, late winter day, a scant few months after the fifth one had arrived. Gino can't help but feel a little bubble of hope when he sees it, wondering if this will be the one, if Sidney picked this one out with her house in mind, as he did with the others, if this will be the one they'll use together. It's china, more delicate than the others, the spider web of blue and yellow patterning on it. "My mum found it at a garage sale when they came to visit last week," Sidney says. "I liked how it looked, so I bought it for you." Gino handles it carefully, unsure of how breakable it is, but places it on the end of the line beside the others. He likes how it looks too, small and graceful next to the solidity and utility of the others.
"Catching up to the sink almost, Sid. Going to need bigger counter."
Sidney shrugs, seeming unconcerned. To christen the new pot, Gino makes them some blueberry tea, which they sip carefully, looking out over the wet grey yard. Sid rinses the pot and puts it back carefully, gleaming and still wet as it catches the sun through the wide kitchen windows. It clinks as it's pushed back against its neighbour, chiming quietly, before Sidney calms with his hand, and it waits silently once more with the others, all lined up in a proud and hopeful row. Sidney sighs, leaning back against Gino for a long moment, before they pad upstairs for their pre-game nap. Sidney burrowed tightly against Gino's side, and his fingers curled against his collarbone.
"Soon, I think,"
Sidney says, rubbing his nose against Gino's shirt, his breath huffing out warmly.
"Soon."
Gino makes a questioning noise, and Sid tugs him down more firmly and turns into him further.
"I hope, too," Gino says softly. "Soon."
The end. Thank you for listening.